couple of Sundays ago, we were finishing up in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus with the armor of God, the Christian armor, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. And we found that we know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, he says in Ephesians 6:12, but rather against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our enemy is not natural. It is supernatural. The devil, Satan, is our chief enemy, and he has many demons or evil spirits at work in the world today. Satan, the Bible says, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, is the prince of the power of the air. But yet we find that the Apostle John teaches us in 1 John 4:4 that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And so once Paul describes the warrior's armor, and he was noting the armor of the Roman soldier, take to yourselves the whole armor of God, and he notices having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and taking the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that is our only offensive weapon. All of our other armor pieces are defensive to defend against the incoming darts of the enemy. But then, in verses 18 through 20, all of these things would be totally useless without the power of prayer. So he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer. That first phrase would be the subject this morning. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Pray for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, once again we bow before Thy throne of grace, seeking mercy to help in our time of need. Father, now our need is that of worshiping grace. We rejoice in the song service and prayers that have gone before us. And we pray now that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide and direct our thoughts in Thy Word, that we might pray always with all prayer in the Spirit. Please, Lord, forgive us each of our many sins, our faults and our failures. Sins of omission, sins of commission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we find that prayer is our greatest and our most powerful resource as we strive to live the Christian life. It is just as important to our spiritual lives as water, natural water, is to these old natural bodies in which we dwell. If we neglect our prayer lives, then our walk with Christ will quickly begin to suffer and diminish. And we begin to perish in the evil world in which we live. We must pray without ceasing. Paul says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17. And that is one among several of short verses in the Bible. Pray without ceasing. Now we know that we don't go around all the time verbally praying, but we are to live our lives in an attitude of prayer and in an attitude of dependence upon our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For when we have our loins girded with truth, and God's Word is truth, Jesus is truth, then we will be able to stand against the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we'll be able to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, effectively, and put the old devil on the run. You remember when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness after Jesus was baptized. He went away into a wilderness and was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, after which he was hungry. And the devil tempted him to turn stones into bread and other temptations. And every time Jesus responded with the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, he said, "It is written, it is written, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And so we find that Paul also said it this way in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, that we are to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving goes right along hand in hand with prayer. When we pray, our first thought should be praising God, not for what He's done for us, but rather for who He is. I believe I remember Brother Keith Hamilton mentioned that in the meeting at Flat Rock Church, that we should first remember God for who He is before we think about what He's done for us. He is the eternal I Am. And we should praise Him as the eternal Father. And yes, He is mighty to save. And we praise Him for His salvation as well. But we're to continue in prayer and watch in prayer with thanksgiving. Now, Paul says in our text, always with all prayer. That means all kinds of prayer. Prayers of praise, and yes, prayer of supplication, praying to the Lord that He would help us in difficult circumstance. Yes, we do pray for the healing of our loved ones and friends who are sick, those who have lost loved ones, and in all kinds of prayer. And yes, intercessory prayer. You remember that Jesus prayed for His disciples. And that was a prayer of intercession in John chapter 17. That is the true Lord's Prayer. John chapter 17. Where Jesus prayed that our Father in heaven, that He would keep us safe in the world in which we live. Knowing that we are in the world, yet we are not of the world. And He prayed not that we would be taken out of the world, but that we would be kept as the salt and light in a sin-darkened world. And then He says, praying in the Spirit. If we pray selfishly in the flesh, that prayer will not be heard. We must pray in the Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they did not pray directly to God in heaven. Rather, they went through an earthly priest of the tribe of Levi, daily and yearly. At the appointed times, they would go to the tabernacle in the wilderness, to the temple in Jerusalem, to offer their sacrifices and their prayers through the priest. But those were all types and shadows of our coming great high priest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one today through whom we now pray. We pray to our Father in heaven through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look in the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 14. Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 14 and verse 13. Find these words. Jesus says that we have a new privilege in prayer. John 14:13. Jesus taught His disciples in the upper room, "And whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. If you love Me, keep My commandments." The key is to ask and to pray in Jesus' name. That's why we end our prayers that way. In Jesus' name, we pray. And when we're truly praying in His name, it will be according to His will, and He will hear that prayer, and He will answer that prayer. And He may not answer it in the way that we think He would, way we think it should be answered, but He will answer that prayer in His time when we pray in His name. And if you skip over then to chapter 16 and drop, if you would, down to verse 12. John 16 and verse 12 through 15. Jesus told His disciples, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that is, from the Father, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and show it unto you. And so we find, now if you drop down to verse number 23 in chapter 16 of John, he went further and said in verse 23, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. For hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Jesus taught his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 to ask, to seek, and to knock. For he who asks, that door will be open, and we will find him. And when we knock and seek after him, he will manifest himself to us. And so we find that we are to be persistent in our prayer. Persistent. For example, in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray." And then the Lord gave his disciples the example of what we normally call the Lord's Prayer. But you find in verses 5 through 10 of Luke 11, Jesus gave them the parable of the importunate friend. And it was a parable that would teach them persistence in prayer, not to give up, but we are rather to persevere in prayer. Just like our text says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, he says, "Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Don't give up. God is working. And so he says in verse 9 of Luke 11, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asketh receiveth, and he that seeks findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." And then Jesus taught this parable. "If a son will ask bread of any of you who is a father, will his father give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Of course not. If he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? Certainly not." Then Jesus said this, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him in prayer?" Now we have the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. But yet, how often do we fail to draw on the power of the Holy Spirit? How often do we lean on our own understanding and not on the Lord? How much more shall our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who pray to him and ask him for the filling of the Spirit? And then, if you will, in our text, Paul goes on to say, then in verse number 19, "And when you pray, also pray for me." Pray for me. But now when Paul asked the Ephesian brethren to pray for him, it was not a selfish prayer. He was not asking that they pray for his own comfort, for his own deliverance, but rather that which would benefit the furtherance of the gospel. His sole concern was that the gospel of truth would be disseminated everywhere to everyone. So he said, pray for me. Remember that he was incarcerated in Rome. He was under house arrest. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And in other writings of Paul, he said, I may be bound, but the word of God is not bound. And he says in verse 20 that he's an ambassador for Christ. Now, he may have been physically bound and limited. He couldn't go anywhere. But if you read history there, you will find that there were people from all countries in the Roman Empire that filtered there through Rome. And he had an audience with people out of every nation under heaven at that time. It turned out that he was able to minister to more people in his bonds, probably than he would have been able to if he were traveling around. And so God knows what He's doing, doesn't He? The Word of God is not bound. And history bears this fact out, that the church has prospered more under persecution than it does under prosperity. It was said often recently in the meeting at Flat Rock Church that we have not yet really experienced much persecution. And we haven't. But it may be coming. But when it comes, may we remain strong in the armor of God. And I believe it would cause us to grow rather than to diminish. And so he says, pray that a door of utterance would be opened unto me. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, notice what Paul said. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 3. With all praying also for us, the ministers, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which he said, I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. A door of utterance. Jesus said this to the church at Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. In Revelation 3, 7 and 8, Jesus, when he was writing to the churches of Asia, said something about a door of opportunity. He said, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things, saith he who's holy, who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no man shuts and no man opens. The door of opportunity. Paul, when he preached in his tours, he was led by the Spirit wherever he went. There were some places he intended to go, but the Spirit led him in a different direction. And doors of opportunity were open to him. And that's my prayer today, that doors of opportunity would continue to be open to us, and that the Lord would work in the heart of His children. Then, notice what he says in verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. Now, normally, an ambassador, who is one who represents the leaders of a nation, we have ambassadors who go into foreign countries and they represent the United States. But Paul was not able to travel at that time. Yet, he didn't have to. The people came to him. And he, just like an earthly ambassador represents their leader, he represented his King, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he was able to open his mouth boldly to speak as he ought to speak. You find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, you and I today, we also are the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Paul said this, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ on the earth. As though God did beseech you by us." And it's the same with us today. God beseeches His people through us. "And we pray you in Christ's stead," he says, "that He has committed to us the word of reconciliation, and pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." Now, we've been reconciled to Him through the blood of Jesus. But we are then to be reconciled to Him. For He says, "He hath made Him," our Father has made Christ, Him, "who knew no sin, sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Now, as we close, let us remember, when we pray, that Jesus is our great High Priest. And it says in Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews 7 and 25, notice this, "Wherefore He, Jesus, is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing that He, Jesus, ever lives to make intercession for them." Jesus lives today to make intercession for you and for me. And then finally in Romans chapter 8, Jesus makes intercession for us. But also we find that the Holy Spirit also intercedes for you and me before our Father's throne in heaven. In Romans 8:26, when He said, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." How often do you find yourselves not really knowing what to pray, how to pray, what to pray for? We should just say, "Holy Spirit, intercede for me before my Father's throne." But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When we don't know what to pray for and how to pray, the groanings of the Spirit are heard by our Father in heaven. And He that searches the heart. Now, God searches our heart. The Spirit searches our heart. And He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. God knows the mind of the Spirit because He makes intercession for the saints. How? According to the will of God. And when it's according to His will, He hears those prayers and He answers those prayers. So as we put on the whole armor of God, let us pray always with all prayer and supplication in the saints, watching thereunto with all perseverance for God's people. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.